Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, a dad's point of view on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. My show is broadcast every Thursday at 11. It is rebroadcast every Thursday evening at 9 and again on Saturdays at noon. You are welcome to call us at 866-564-1290 or tweet me at Bruce Salen or email Bruce at Bruce Salen. That's Bruce and Salen. That's S like in sunshine. Our next segment is Teen Rap with special guest Pastor Drew Sams. I will tell you a little bit more about him. But first, as I always do but did not have time, I want to tell you what last week's music was. As always, of course, I feature an Elvis song, and one of my favorites that I discovered from his Aloha concert, which was the biggest worldwide audience for any TV event ever up to that point. About 1 billion people watched the first satellite show ever. He did a song called Welcome to My World, which I love. We had Bill Medley doing Brown Eyed Woman. We had The Who doing My Generation. We had the theme from Jaws. We had Moses, supposes, his toeses are roses, from my favorite movie musical of all time, Singing in the Rain. We had the theme from The Andy Griffith Show. We had Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from Mary Poppins. And in continued honor of the end of the James Taylor and Carole King tribute reunion, we had Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow from their concert. Pastor Drew is our guest today. Our segment is Teen Rap, though it doesn't totally jive with the column. We will just see where this goes, and I know Pastor Drew has some ideas. Pastor Drew is the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, and he's been doing that for the last 5 years. He's also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and last night he had a bonfire beach event in which my son attended, and he is a remarkable and inspirational pastor, and I am privileged and joyed to have him with me. Welcome, Pastor Drew.
Hey, Bruce, thanks for having me again. It was great spending time with your son last night. It was really a great evening.
Good, good. I heard not only was it a great evening, but you actually fed them.
Yeah, that's the way to a teenage boy's heart.
Oh, gosh. I mean, he was telling me about it, and I'm going, can I come as a chaperone?
It's when you do s'mores with special chocolate with almonds inside, I think that's the key to a good s'more on the campfire.
Okay, I'm starving, and he's talking about s'mores. That's just, what can I say? Our segment's Teen Rap, but I really would like to open it up to you. I know you sent me an email, and you had some ideas of what we might talk about vis-a-vis the column, and I will just turn it over to you to start.
Sure. Well, you know, having spent the last 5 years at Calvary working with teens and 7 years total working with teens, I've dealt with so many high school students who actually live in an environment in which you perfectly described in your column, this idea of second marriages often are much, much harder than the first. And when you look at those statistics that you gave in your column, as you mentioned, often
let's repeat those statistics. Excuse me for interrupting. For those that haven't read the column, because they were shocking to me. Everybody pretty much knows and acknowledges that first marriages end approximately 40 to 50% of the time. But what surprised me is that second marriages end approximately two-thirds of the time, and third or fourth marriages end 75% of the time. That's a staggering statistic, and it only seems to enhance the idea that people absolutely, as Wade and I were talking about in the previous segment, do not learn from their mistakes. And if that many of them end up in divorce, what is the stress in the households for these teens, which is what you were talking about?
Sure. And having met so many students who their parents are on their second marriage and entering into that second marriage right as they're transitioning into the adolescent years, I think that could be, you know, another factor that makes it that much more difficult. I mean, adolescent years in general, what a turbulent time for so many, and it requires, you know, so much commitment on a parent's part, on siblings' parts, and so to add another layer where you're trying to figure out new family dynamics with a new member of the family, it can really add to some of the issues that can happen.
My son, Arnie, as you know, because you know him personally, has lived through a divorce. And he was in middle school when we were going through kind of the worst part of it. And it was a especially difficult time for him at that age. So I couldn't agree with you more from this, than that as an example.
Yeah, it's interesting. From a sociological point of view, and I've done a lot of work through my undergrad years at the University of Southern California in psychology and child development, they say that as a child transitions from childhood to adulthood through that, you know, that long phase that we call adolescence, for many there's a transition from relying primarily on the mother and the kind of the nurturing role to then the father as, you know, traditionally the one who's more independent, the provider. I know that society is very different now than it was, let's say, of course, back in the 50s, but and before that. But
you mean when I grew up?
Yeah. You know, and as you see that transition to then as a teen is trying to figure out, okay, what does it mean for me to be interdependent within society and having to figure that out in a household where maybe the father isn't there can be very confusing for many.
There's no doubt about it. We actually have a tweet that doesn't relate to teens, and it's a question I've never even thought of to ask a clergy person. So it's for you, and then this is it. Does the Bible have anything specific to say about multiple marriages? Or I guess divorce would be my question, too.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting because there's so many examples throughout Scripture of how not to live. You know, we see, as we've talked about, in previous shows, that you get example after example of people forgetting who God is and how to live. And so King David, one of the most famous characters of the Bible, had, you know, multiple wives. King Solomon had hundreds of concubines. And so,
yeah, King David even arranged to kill one of his rivals.
Exactly. So I think there's a lot of examples in Scripture of how not to live, because we see consequences of what happens out of that. We see God intervening and responding to how mistakes were made. But if you were to go all the way back, you know, to that Garden of Eden scene, as we know in the story, we see that God says after he creates this man that it is not good for man to be alone, and creates all the animals, but they're not good enough. And so, as the story goes, that God puts Adam to sleep, pulls a rib out, creates woman, and we have that story of Adam and Eve. And so from the very beginning, before sin has entered the equation, before there's brokenness in the world, we see this relationship between one man and one woman. And that's, I think, as God created it and intends for it to be, this lifelong covenantal commitment to one another. And unfortunately, we've lost in so many ways.
I think so. Moving back, I mean, I agree with you completely. Moving back just to the teens, because we're almost out of time, could you offer, given the vast numbers of kids you've seen in these blended families, could you offer a couple very quick tips that you would offer the parents involved as far as their kids?
Sure. You know, there's a ratio that we always use in student ministry. It's kind of inverted. Typically, camps will say, okay, you need 1 leader for every 5 kids. We try to flip it upside down and say, we would like 5 adults for every 1 kid to encourage them, to walk with them, to be able to give them advice. And so as a parent, if you're going through your first or second or even third divorce, I think if you're able to slow down and maybe count, who are some of the adults in your children's life that could be a positive influence? It could be a teacher, it could be a coach, it could be an aunt or an uncle, somebody who is a church, God, where it may be, really try to get five.
You're breaking that up, really, Pastor Drew. Are you, we're not.
Did I lose you there?
Yeah, are you on a cell phone?
Nope, calling from a landline.
Okay, something happened. But finish up, because we're almost out of time, but I want to hear the rest of what you had to say.
So the goal would be that if you could help find at least 5 adults in your child's life to encourage them, to give them good, sound advice, I think I've noticed that they're going to be able to transition through that adolescent phase much, much healthier.
I never would have thought of that. It's excellent advice. We are out of time, Pastor Drew. Please tell our listeners where they can reach you.
Sure. Our church website, where you can get all my information, is calvaryccfl.com. www.bruceedbruceallen.org.
I want you to know I have finally included you on all my marketing info as far as that website. I hadn't done that up till now, and a good friend pointed it out and said, how could you leave out Pastor Drew? And I apologize, but you are now present there with that information as well.
Great. Well, it's an honor to be part of the show every week.
Thank you, Pastor Drew, and I look forward to talking with you next week. We are coming up to a break, so be sure to call in if you'd like at 866-564-1290 or locally at 805-564-1290. Next segment is with Julie Spira, the cyber dating expert, and it will be on single-parent dating. Come on back.
And now I feel 10 feet tall, sunny one so true, I love